Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb has called workforce development the state's Achilles heel, and he's made growing the state's pool of skilled workers a top priority for at least a year now. But it's not the kind of problem you can fix overnight. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Lindsay Wright reports, one of the many hurdles employers find themselves up against is a complicated one.
At Tomlinson Manufacturing, the motto is simple. We make stuff.
Small parts components that's out of aluminum, a myriad of steels, and then plastics. There's a ton of industrial plastics we've gotten into, too.
Tomlinson operates out of a relatively small building in downtown Indianapolis. It's an open space with high ceilings. There's a handful of machines with two guys working on a couple of them. Even though it's a small company, Tomlinson says she has a hard time finding the skilled employees she needs.
I need, theoretically, at least two more people. I need those people so that they can float back and forth. Everyone can check. It needs to be a team. I do not have that now.
Tomlinson has tried to recruit skilled workers at trade schools and job fairs, but there's just not enough interest. On top of that, Tomlinson says there's a serious lack of critical thinking and math skills. The Indiana Department of Workforce Development estimates there will be more than 1 million jobs to fill in the state in the next 5 years. So there aren't enough workers, and those who are interested often don't have the skills. But let's add another barrier into the mix, the drug crisis. It's not only tearing families apart, ravaging communities, but it's exacerbating the workforce shortage. Quality Fabricated Solutions President Charlie Powers says it's a complex issue. His workers make a little of everything using laser cutters and welding practices. Powers says he typically brings on people who have no former training because it's hard for him to compete with larger companies. And he loses some potential workers when they find out QFS does random drug testing. For current employees, it's not necessarily a one-and-done policy here at QFS. Powers says it depends on the situation. But his goal is to give workers another chance.
First off, it's very expensive to train. So it's cheaper for me to work with somebody, try to help them, than it is just to say you're done and bring somebody else in and start that training process over.
But balancing those efforts with safe working practices can be difficult. Leaders of Belden, a transmission company in Richmond, are going to even greater lengths to address the challenges with drugs. Human Resources Vice President Leah Tate says about 10% of applicants were failing drug tests.
And so it made us start to take notice, and we need to increase the labor pool, not shrink it.
Belden launched Pathways to Employment early last year, the first-of-its-kind rehabilitation program. If a job candidate fails a drug test, they're referred to a treatment provider. There, they do an assessment, which determines the risk for substance use disorder.
Depending on that, they'll have individualized treatment. Once we bring them into the plant and they start working, they start on the safety-conscious jobs, and then after a certain period of time, we would allow them to operate machinery.
The employees must pass ongoing drug tests. Christopher Schrader runs a business consulting firm out of Bloomington called Schrader & Associates. He says because of the shortage, companies are tapping into populations they previously wouldn't have, like kids out of high school or people with criminal records. Belden is doing the same thing.
I personally applaud them. It's a risk, to be certain, and their risk must be acute because they're taking that risk on the front end.
Schrader says there are no easy answers. Tomlinson says she'd love to get a pool of candidates with experience, but right now, she'll settle for workers with the simple desire to make stuff. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Lindsay Wright.